the style toll free. Here as we launch in hour number three of the program, the number is 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. It's 800-259-9231, and it is Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, the features we give away. So enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. So last hour we began a topic about intellectual property. The story was an article from LouRockwell.com reviewing a book called Against Intellectual, I think it was Against Intellectual Monopoly or Property. I don't have it in front of me right now, but they were basically pointing out that patents are slowing innovation, and all of the evidence proves it. Essentially, that patents have slowed innovation, that innovation was bustling and happening before patents, and now it's just completely, almost killed it. But we continue with this topic, Mark, because you got an email from somebody who is in one of those protected industries, one of the industries that is well protected by patents and government monopoly protection, and that is the pharmaceutical industry. So here he's going to fight for his job. Go ahead. I'd like to hear this.
So this is, it's not science, so I'm not going to mention who it's from. gentlemen, I'm a first-year student at the University of Florida's College of Pharmacy, just beginning to work on my PharmD.
I'm sure they're telling him all about how important patents are.
Well, you know, the thing is when a lot of times it's the students that know more about the industry than, other people because they're learning about it.
From their socialist teachers.
Yes, and they're being indoctrinated into the whole paradigm of the – they're drinking the Kool-Aid of the industry, so to speak.
I've called myself a libertarian for over 6 years now, but am new to the idea that there would be no intellectual property. Attached is a copy of a lecture from how the new drug approval process is achieved. Through the FDA and DEA, although the FDA and DEA increase costs by large, patents are essential to keep research going. I understand the desire to use natural cures, but there are few to treat many of the modern time diseases. In the early 1900s, when the true pharmacotherapies were developed, treatments were for infectious diseases. Now the focus is on treatment for chronic diseases that were previously unseen, but have become more common due to the lengthening of life expectancy. The days of accidentally finding cures like penicillin and lithium are long over. Modern drugs and therapies must be developed from scratch with advanced formulation and synthesis techniques developed by years of research. And this is what is my biggest concern about doing away with patent laws in the area of drugs and movies is something entirely different, but for different reasons I have, and patents don't affect movies, copyrights do, but intellectual property in those arenas, is because, you know, if it was incremental, and some drug research is incremental, you learn a little bit about this drug, that, you know, people can use it and they learn more. I think that there's all kinds of problems with the patent laws on drugs and the process by which they're approved and all that stuff, but if you had a scenario where a company, could find the cure for cancer, and let's say, Wayne, that cure did not exist already. The cure for cancer was, could be found, but it would cost them $30 trillion in R&D in order to come up with this cure. Well, if they couldn't have some kind of reasonable recourse in recouping that money, rather than somebody going out there reverse engineering for, $1 million, reverse engineering what they've done, and then competing with them on the same level, disincentivize that company.
Disincentivized by the fact that there's limited competition and they've got more interest in giving the cancer patients something to keep popping rather than something to cure them?
We have I see that point, Ian, but mostly what that's from is from the FDA. It's not from patents. It's from the process that is supposed to protect us. Now, you can patent poison, Ian, so that's not particularly the – right, absolutely. In a lot of cases, drugs are limited sort of poisons. I'm all for natural cures when they can be used, but do you see what I'm saying? The FDA is there to protect you, and it costs what? How much does it cost to get through the FDA? It's over $1 billion, I think, just to get through the FDA.
In some cases, yeah.
That keeps the amount of people in the arena from competing. That's not patent law. That's something entirely different.
But the whole idea of drugs is basically one paradigm in treating people, and there are many. And a good friend of mine who you've met is a doctor, but he's a naturopathic MD, you might call him. And he's been exposed to both schools of thought. And one thing he said one day that was really interesting is he said that that whole paradigm of the traditional conventional so-called medicine is based on Newtonian physics, you know, two balls bouncing together, whereas some of the newer sciences that are very innovative are based on quantum physics, which is multidimensional and it's actually more sophisticated, and it's a lot less expensive as well and doesn't really involve patents. So we'll have to have him on the show one time, and he can tell us more about it because he knows a lot more about it than I do.
Sounds good. Let's go on with this email. Keep in mind that there's much about human physiology that's still not known. Many diseases are considered idiopathic, and there's no way to prevent them until we know what is causing them. Research for microbiology, pharmacology, pathophysiology is expensive because it requires sophisticated technologies like fluorescent and electron microscopes, MRIs, laboratory staff, and various analysis equipment. Obviously, the cost of research would be reduced if there were no taxes on equipment or the production of equipment. However, the undeniable fact remains that spending money on research and development will always cost more than not spending money on research and development. Thus, generic drug companies will always have a startup advantage of sitting around and waiting for someone else to do the work and then taking the fruits of someone else's labor and profiting from them. This is why a patent system is essential in keeping the drug research going.
Same old story, every industry, every time. Every industry that's believes they're protected by the patents will say the same things as this guy, saying, well, we need the patents there because we need to make sure that we've got the money to do R&D and nobody comes and takes our ideas from us. And look, I mean, the reality is that the patents slow down innovation, and that in the absence of patents, innovation costs less because you don't have to pay for a bunch of patent attorneys and deal with the patent legal process and all of that. There are a lot of factors in the legal realm that come into play when you're dealing with patents. And I'm sorry, I mean, just sit there and speculate and say, well, what if the cure for cancer costs $30 trillion? See, that's why we need patents. I mean, you're just trying to scare people, Mark. It is absurd because having innovation and real competition, as you've said earlier on this show, drives down costs. So exactly. I don't believe it for a moment that it would cost $30 trillion. And if it costs a lot of money to do this research, then the market will shift in ways that would give the money that's necessary to these research organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. Technology is driven by the price of technology is driven down, but you just don't know what it's going to take in order to find these things out. Would you agree that something out there is going to cost in the drug area to cure something is going to cost a lot of money in R&D?
I don't know what a lot means. I certainly don't think it's $30 trillion.
Well, but you are talking out of your anal orifice.
You were the one that started by talking out of your anal orifice by suggesting it would cost $30 trillion to cure cancer.
I put a hypothetical up, and I'm just saying that, you know, here's something.
Okay,
people want to see cancer.
The question here is, can someone who invents something and spends a considerable investment make money and get their investment back? And I still think they can. I do believe. Now, of course, there are absurd amounts of money spent sometimes on these things, but you know, there might be a whole new paradigm or a whole new approach that's done to keep the cost of R&D down, too, where they, you know, everything is blown apart and they actually see something they didn't see before because in an effort to use their resources more wisely to get their money back. So I don't completely buy that whole argument because, I mean, I have an uncle who was a pharmacy professor and he was the head of a department in a major university. And we've talked about this many times. And he's actually testified in IP cases in court in favor of for a drug company, and so much of this stuff is unbelievable. I can't even go into it on the air right now, but I just don't buy a lot of those arguments that they project about the need for all these patent protections. And I've even seen some dog and pony shows in the Senate where drug company executives are trying to extend patent protection even further than what they are now, and why?
It's no different from the cab driver organizations or the cab organizations out there lobbying to make sure that the cab restrictions and regulations stay in effect. Oh, God, we can't have people just out there running around picking people up and dropping them off because, well, it's dangerous or whatever the excuse is that they use. We can't do that. It's going to put people at risk or we're not going to be able to do our business in the way we used to. And, the fact is that people should be able to compete and people should be able to innovate and they should be able to borrow ideas, and if you don't want your ideas to be borrowed, then you should keep them real close to yourself.
How about open source? People are making money on Linux. Why can't you have an open source medical system?
You could if you didn't have this patent system to deal with.
Those things are incremental, not like the example I gave earlier.
I'm not sure what the point is you're making. You can come back and make it in a moment. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. This is Free Talk Live.
Welcome to your Big Idea Minute with Donnie Deutsch, offering you tips and advice on how to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true from the aha moment to your first million. Here's your host, business mogul, and CNBC personality, Donnie Deutsch.
What are you entitled to in your life? Make a list. Write it down. Once you've got your list, own it. Make it your mantra. But don't stop there. The power of positive thinking isn't enough if you don't use the power of positive doing. Gary Cox, a personal growth expert and life strategist, has a great line. He says, positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. To get things in motion, you have to walk through the door. Take an item on your entitlement list. What are the practical actions you need to take to get moving? If you think about it, every issue in life can be resolved with a simple two-step. Dream plus action. For the Big Idea Radio Minute, I'm Donnie Deutsch.
For a transcript of this show and others, please visit DonnieDeutsch.com. Donnie Deutsch has inspired millions of entrepreneurs to realize their biggest dreams. Now, in his book, The Big Idea, How to Make Your Entrepreneurial Dreams Come True from the Aha Moment to Your First Million, Deutsch draws not only on his own tremendous focus and expertise, but on that of dozens of the successful entrepreneurs whom he has interviewed. He's gathered all his knowledge together in this book to help you create your own enterprise. The Big Idea is your roadmap to the American dream. The Big Idea by Donnie Deutsch is available wherever books are sold.
Are taxes, food, energy, housing, medical forcing Americans into poverty? Is free enterprise flawed, or is our monetary system forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? The answers are in Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about the Fed and central banking. Hi, Ted Anderson. I will give a U.S. silver dollar to everyone who purchases this book. Call 800-686-2237. It's critical to be made aware of the system. Get your copy today, 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The United States is bankrupt, and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Your engine is the heart of your vehicle. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to determine whether it's going to go the long run? Or should you dump your vehicle before you experience a major expense? The military has developed such a technology, and it's called oil analysis. By taking a mere 4-ounce sample during an oil change, you can get an easy-to-read, complete report by an independent laboratory covering engine wear, oil condition, and contamination. You could expect to pay hundreds of dollars or more for someone to look inside your engine. But now, for only $14.95, we will send you a test kit with easy to follow directions. Yes, just $14.95. Then you can speak directly with one of our experts on your engine's condition and how to make it last longer. Act now and we'll pay the shipping to you. Visit oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com or call 888-873-7371. That's 888-873-7371. 888-873-7371.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up what you want if you dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
It's Wayne.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. We give away the features. Those features include the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see it for yourself at shrine.freetalklive.com. Have the stories of civil disobedience here in New Hampshire touched, moved, and inspired you, but you're unable for whatever reason to be involved? Well, now you can. With the Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org, it allows you to care for these brave men and women by financially supporting them while they face down the organizations that operate through violence and coercion. cdevolution.org. You can go there. You can get signed up with a monthly subscription. Or we've added a new option to an easy way for you to send some money over to cdevolution.org. Decided to, Mark, you and I have decided to send the money from Newegg over to cdevolution.org. So we've mentioned on the show in the past that if you shop at newegg.freetalklive.com to buy your computer parts and computer-y things, that a percentage will go to Free Talk Live. Well, we've decided that that money's now going to go to Newegg. In fact, Free Talk Live hasn't ever even gotten a check from Newegg yet. It's
all the money
kind of building up.
That that all the money that's that comes through Newegg, and basically we picked up Newegg because Amazon's good and offers us a good percentage and everything. But there's certain computer parts that you just can't get through Amazon, so Newegg was a good choice for.
It was in demand by the listeners.
Yeah,
so
they asked us to, and so we responded. And we're going to be giving that money all to the CD Evolution Fund.
The first check's going to be something like $600, I think. So it's going to go straight to
Cha-ching.
The CD Evolution. Yeah, so cdevolution.org. But it's been, what, 6 months or something like that? And they were supposed to pay it out quarterly, but whatever. It took a while to build up enough money for it to actually get the payout, essentially. And so it's a good thing it took a while because now all that money's going to cdevolution.org. But you can go and financially support them directly with a PayPal subscription at cdevolution.org. 800-259-9231. We talked to Karen in D.C. Karen, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm a patent attorney, and I have dealt with the pharmaceutical industry from time to time, but not as a person working for a pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
When I first started in this area, which is about almost 30 years ago, I always thought that they needed the patents so that they could invest in further research and innovation. But after I befriended people in the industry, I realized they do need the patents, but there needs to be limits on their spending on marketing.
There are limits on spending on marketing. What do you mean by that?
To the doctors and the other areas. You know, brother-in-law who's a doctor, and that's where I learned that how much they spend on marketing to him. I don't know how many sets of china he got, how many trips to France and the Caribbean.
Well, I don't understand. Why are you calling for limits on marketing? What's the reason for it?
Well, you were talking about limits on doing patents.
Well, I'm talking about getting rid of patents, but Mark is in favor of them.
Okay, well, patents are in the Constitution.
That much is true.
I really don't care, but okay.
Well, they recognize the value of them. Benjamin Franklin has quite a few of them, and he had a lot of advances,
of course, protectionists
among
are
other
going
areas,
to
the steel industry.
I understand that protectionists are going to value patents because it protects them from competition. So certainly there are always going to be people who are calling for patents. But why is it that you're saying that, okay, well, patents are fine, let's move on beyond that and talk about marketing restrictions? What's your point on that?
Oh, my point on that is patents, people put into a lot of money into research and development. I have many small clients who put in 90% of their company's income into developing technologies, and they want to protect them because without that, then somebody comes by and in 6 months sees it and copies it, and they're out all that money. And their competitors...
Typical sob story.
What?
Typical sob story. This is what we hear from anybody that supports...
It's not a sob story.
It is. This is what we hear from everybody that supports patents.
My partner doesn't... His highest and only priority is what he calls freedom. And as far as he's concerned, people can die. Children can be filleted and crucified as long as...
That's right, Mark. That's what will happen in the absence of patents. That's right.
Oh,
Mark,
I'm not,
whatever.
I mean, obviously, you don't want to. If you can't make a good argument against, some big outlay on R&D, so as all you do is keep on going.
I
back
made
to
several
coercive,
arguments.
monopolies.
I made several arguments. I pointed out that patents, in the absence of patents, innovation was alive and well, and that innovation has slowed.
Innovation in a great deal of those instances, all of those instances that I can come up with, is incremental. You're not talking about incremental innovation. You're talking about big sweeping. You know, they have to do all kinds of stuff to try new things.
I'm pretty sure that all innovation is incremental, Mark. I'm not sure what the point is you're making.
But
not all is, and you have not shown any evidence at all for saying that innovation is increasing in the absence of patents.
There's a book that we were talking about a few moments ago that points it out, and I can pull it up again for you if you'd like. I'll give you the title here in a moment.
Yeah, you know, I see what she's saying about advertising in the sense that, yeah, they can do whatever they want with the money, but they're saying that they need this patent protection to pay for the R&D when really they're spending a lot of money on advertising and marketing and sales expenses that they're using the patents to also pay for. Is that what you were trying to get at with that?
Yes, I understood after being involved with these people and dealing with people in the pharmaceutical industry for a long time that patents are very expensive, but they're just maybe a third of the budget for this.
Right.
So you're saying more controls is what is necessary in order to make the industry work the way you think it should. Is my understanding correct?
I'm just saying that maybe you should remove tax incentives for spending it on marketing. If they want to do it, fine, but why should we subsidize it?
I'm with that.
I'm not in favor of subsidizing anything, and I thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. The book is called Against Intellectual Monopoly. Authors Michelle Boldrin and David Levin, or Levine. It is available at Mises.org, and there's an entire chapter, the ninth chapter, dedicated to the pharmaceutical industry. So if you want to go and do your own digging, that would seem to be the place to
do it. That
looks
like a good book to have on one's bookshelf, because I've kind of in the past been on the side of intellectual property, but there's been a lot of really good arguments against it now where I'm kind of going the other way.
Well, I've heard a lot of good arguments against it, too, and I have gone almost completely the other way. The only areas that I'm, would be interested in seeing a patents preserved is drugs, and the only area that I would be interested in seeing
copyright, because you're scared, right?
Preserved is in movies, because I'm scared that kids will die if
you're
we don't
scared
have movies.
That you're scared that if there are no patents on drugs, that all of a sudden people are going to start dying in the street.
I think
right.
that it's unfair to people who have built their lives in an industry that, yes, has enjoyed a certain amount of protection to just wipe that industry off the face of the map because of your ideological belief in freedom.
It's unfair, is it? Because they've been enjoying monopoly protection for decades? It's unfair to just take that away
monopoly
from them?
Monopoly protection on an idea that they made and a product that they produced so that people can't steal it out from under them,
You know what? There's a lot of them that
it's
aren't worth stealing. Look how
it would
many.
Be if it was a damn paperclip off your desk. You'd hack their hand off. But when it comes to ones and zeros, it's not stealing.
Ideas cannot be stolen, only borrowed. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up what you want. And if you've got thoughts on the intellectual property story, you're certainly welcome to share them with us. This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days. But many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecoloblue.com. EcoloBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The EcoloBlue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call EcoloBlue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit EcoloBlue at ecoloblue.com today.
Doctors around the world claim that cancer and other diseases cannot live in a pH-balanced alkaline environment. But as you know, most people are overly acidic due to stress, acidic diet, and lack of exercise. pH balance is the foundation of energy abundance and perfect health, as well as prevention of disease. People who alkalize the water they drink experience normalized blood sugar, mental clarity, and loss of weight. It was intended for human beings to drink alkaline water, but due to modern way of life, most people are overly acidic. The fact is that disease simply cannot exist in an alkaline environment. Fat accumulates if a person consumes too much acid on a regular basis and doesn't neutralize it. Do your part. Alkalize and supercharge your body now. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops contain a special mineral salt concentrate that raises the pH of the water you drink up to the pH of 10 with only 10 drops. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to alkavision.com. Again, that's alkavision.com.
Break the law and you're caught on film.
Practically impossible for police to spot plates that have been treated with a reflective spray.
The reflection blinded our camera.
We are under the microscope. Red light cameras and speed cameras are in place to make money, not for your safety. But you don't have to be defenseless against these unconstitutional devices. Have a fighting chance with SprayYourPlate.com's photo blocker. When properly applied, this revolutionary product has proven itself to be the most effective device available against traffic cameras. Invisible to the naked eye, your license plate, when flashed, will be overexposed and unreadable to the cameras. Save your money. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. And check out the newscast showing the photoblocker in action, proving that the Spray Your Plate's photoblocker works against traffic cameras. Go to SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
SouthSummit.com is the place for top name brand knives such as Kershaw, Spyderco, Cold Steel, Gerber, K-Bar, Boker, Leatherman, and more. South Summit has one of the largest selections of self-defense products on the web. Knives, stun guns, police batons, pepper spray, LED flashlights, emergency kits, binoculars, and tactical gear are just some of the great products found on SouthSummit.com. Receive discounted prices on camping and preparedness products from Camelback, Kelty, and Eureka. Check out our water store. Storage barrels, water purification systems, and Mountain House freeze-dried foods that have a 30-year shelf life. Keep an eye on your family and keep them safe with our do-it-yourself spy camera systems. Mention that you heard this ad on the radio and you'll receive a free LED flashlight with your order. Visit SouthSummit.com. That's South Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, SouthSummit.com. Or call toll-free 1-800-234-8654. That's 1-800-234-8654.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Talk Live, it is your show. You can bring up, well, whatever you want. Toll free at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. By the way, those features include all kinds of neat things like the live streams, got a broadband version of the show, a dial-up version, a webcam, and more. All free for you at listen.freetalklive.com. That is listen.freetalklive.com. So we're talking about intellectual property, and there's a book out called Against Intellectual Monopoly, and I was actually just moments ago doing a Google search for it. I mentioned to you that it is available in print form over on Mises.org, but a quick Google search actually reveals that one of the authors apparently has put it up on her website for free. In PDF form.
Wow.
So I haven't had a chance to dig through it, but we were just talking about how Chapter 9 was about the pharmaceutical industry, and there's Chapter 9 right there linked to on her website. So Against Intellectual Monopoly, search for that one on Google, and you'll probably find it for free. 800-259-9231, which, of course, makes sense. What author would write a book called Against Intellectual Monopoly and then go ahead and copyright it? So we continue here with your phone calls about what you want. It's Gene in Tennessee on the Amp Line. Hello, Gene.
Oh, hi there.
Yeah,
I wanted to talk to Mark the fascist there.
Oh, boy. Here I am a fascist again.
Yep, and tell him how fast I was driving home today from the office. Let's see, I was going 15 to 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. I rolled through every stop sign. I don't bother to stop for them unless there's either one of those gang members in blue, or if there's too much traffic.
Gene, I'm not against that. That's not what I was saying. And if that's what it made it, if I made it sound like, then you know I failed to communicate it to you. I'm not saying that you should never go above the speed limit. I go above the speed limit all the time, and sometimes I've gone and consider it a good idea to go 20 miles an hour above the speed limit. And I'm sure that there are times when even higher is called for. And
well,
I don't think that stop signs.
You should have your little hand slapped.
I don't think that stop signs are, you know, very effective. I think that they're really just revenue generating devices. But I think that a person should come, you know, should be able to see both ways and know whether or not it's safe to go through an intersection. But I don't think you necessarily have to come to a full and complete stop and rock back before you're able to come up with that. However, going down a narrow street, you know, when it's cold out and liable to be some snow and ice on the road, with cars lined up on both sides, you know how dangerous that can be in a residential area, Gene.
I just did it, yeah, so I know how dangerous it is because the roads that I was driving on were narrow, two-lane roads. And
with cars along the side?
Yes, along the side, no. These were country roads, but the cars on the opposite side coming at me.
You're much more likely to hit a tree in that circumstance than you are a car or you know, someone else's property or someone else.
No, your biggest hazard is the oncoming car, and they were going just as fast as I was. So
we were talking about an instance that's different than you know than what it is that you're talking about. But go ahead, Gene.
But the thing is, it's what's important is that the driver is attentive to what's going on and that they're able to handle the vehicle.
I agree with you.
Even at that, you can't regulate people being competent to drive their vehicles. All you can do is go out there like a bunch of gangbangers and steal people's money. That's all you can do. You're never going to be able to regulate people into behaving themselves. Either people behave themselves or they don't. And if they don't, in a situation like driving, they're going to kill themselves.
And they found, I believe, that deterrence, what are supposedly deterrent-style punishments, actually don't really do anything to deter people. You're punishing somebody with death or a long jail sentence or a fine, it doesn't really do anything to lessen the amount of people that commit those crimes.
And I mentioned a while back that I started flying again, and I have in my hands here the what's called the FAR AIM 2009, in other words, the Federal Aviation Regulations. And it's a nice, big, fat book. And you know how much of it I know?
Most of it?
I don't know. Hardly any of it.
1%?
Are you kidding me? I don't think the people that wrote this book know what's in this book.
Not likely.
But at any rate, one thing that's more realistic about flying than driving is that when you fly an airplane, at least the regulations say that as pilot in command, the buck stops with you. You're the final judge of whether or not you're going to follow any rules and regulations. So in at least in flying, they tell you that here's the regulations and here's the rules. But if you're in a situation where you think that it's safer to break those rules, you go ahead and break them. But they may take you to task later on and try to do something to you. But, I mean, if you say, well, my engine was sputtering and you know, I couldn't, I had to land the plane, so I had to go through this airspace over George Bush's ranch to land my plane. All they're going to do is, you know, they can't really question you. You are the pilot in command, and you make the final judgment. But in an automobile, they don't give you that same kind of responsibility. They say, well, it doesn't matter what you were doing. You broke the rules.
And now you must pay, sucker.
And now you must pay. So at least in flying, you have a little bit more common sense. But
interesting thoughts tonight, Gene. Any other anything else on your mind?
Down with stop signs.
I'm with you there. Thanks for the call, dude. 800-259-9231. Even Mark agrees with the stop sign thing. Well, generally, right? I think there are some places where a yield sign would be appropriate.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that somebody should be responsible. You know, somebody should yield the right of way at an intersection where there's going to be cars coming. Somebody has to yield the right of way.
And I think Americans are pretty used to the idea of having road signs around. And Julia and I were actually talking about this today because we had it's a snowy day here in New Hampshire. There's what they call a storm going on right now,
yeah.
Which just basically means snow. And she was pointing out that at her business, which is a restaurant chain she works for, nobody comes out and eats. during snow day. So apparently people just stay in because for whatever reason they believe that it's a bad idea to drive somewhere.
Well, it's dangerous on the roads right now. I tell you, I was plowing my driveway. I can't even move my truck out of it's right in the middle of the front of my driveway. It's not going anywhere.
It's possible.
This is a four-wheel drive with chains on it.
Well, it's possible to get where you're going. We're in a city, so it's not like you're out in the countryside.
I've been stuck
like
at your house, too.
Right up on a big mound of snow that you drove yourself up onto. You're cautious, if you're careful driving where you need to go, you'll get there. But what we were thinking about when we were driving is that, well, if they haven't cleared the roads entirely, then what you're dealing with is essentially a situation where there are no lines in the road.
Yes,
that's true. You see people coming, and you don't go in their way. I mean, it's really like anarchy on the roads, basically, because you don't have the same kind of traffic controlling signage and things like that. I mean, even the signs themselves can be whited out with snow. Certainly license plates and things like that are completely whited out with snow. The street, you can't see lines or anything like that.
Police cars are all white.
It's a different situation. It's a really unique situation to be driving in. And we were thinking, just sort of speculating out loud, that maybe Americans are just so used to having lines to stay within that not having those lines makes them very frightened. It makes them very nervous about traveling. The roads are slippery,
too. I stay
too.
Off the roads generally when the snow, you know, hits, unless I've got to come to work or whatever, unless I have a good reason to go someplace. And I am not nervous because the lines are gone.
I'm not saying you are, Mark, but I'm saying maybe there are some people that are that way.
There may be some. However, it seems like a broad sweeping generalization that is based on ideological beliefs and has really nothing to do with reality.
Just speculation, that's all. We continue with Stephen in Colorado.
Idle speculation.
Stephen, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello?
Hi there.
You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, two things, and one really quickly. That's a technical question about your website. You have that wiki on there. I just wondered how much of a pain is that to maintain, or is it not a pain at all?
I don't do anything. I don't do anything to maintain it. There are a few listeners that are amplifiers that have administrative access to it. But honestly, I don't even know if they're doing much of anything to maintain it. My answer is I have no idea.
Is that the music?
It is. Did you have more?
I do. I have another question.
All right, hang on. We'll bring back Stephen. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And by the way, I pulled up the Against Intellectual Monopoly book here. Maybe I can pick out a few choice paragraphs to share with you if we get a chance. Your calls are the primary element, however. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call now to solve all of your computer problems. 888-629-9903. 888-629-9903. 629-9903. That's 888-629-9903.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Stop wasting your time struggling with everything you're trying to learn. Learning should be a pleasure, not torture. The School of Phenomenal Memory gives you the training and tools you need to memorize any type of information quickly and efficiently. Just as you need to exercise to get your body into shape, you need to exercise mentally to improve your memory. The School of Phenomenal Memory will act as your personal trainer, guiding you through a series of 60 lessons. Once completed, you will be able to memorize any type of information, including entire books, guaranteed. Our course is not based on classic mnemonic techniques or other tricks that you simply can't apply in real life. Instead, the School of Phenomenal Memory uses the latest breakthrough and scientific understanding of how memory works, applying techniques based on natural mechanisms of your brain and memory. Start exercising your brain today at pmemory.net and receive Secrets of a Phenomenal Memory, the amazing ebook, absolutely free. Visit pmemory.net. The time is now. Learn how to memorize entire books today.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
Do you have aches and pains or suffer from indigestion or inflammation? Are you tired of feeling restless from insomnia? These symptoms are produced by harmful toxins, but with the correct information, understanding, and care, you can cleanse them from your body. AloeMaster.com would like to help you begin the road to recovery with aloe vera. For over 4,000 years, aloe vera has been known for its therapeutic and healing properties and is widely recognized as the plant that helps alleviate minor burn. AloeMaster.com picks the best aloe leaves and produces the most potent aloe vera concentrated juices and freeze-dried capsules you can find. AloeMaster.com offers products with 10 times the potency of ordinary aloe products, enhancing the benefits of this ancient cleansing plant. Turn over a new leaf and visit us today at AloeMaster.com. That's AloeMaster.com. Or call us at 1-800-934-ALOE. That's 1-800-934-2563 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial toll-free 800-259-9231. Only moments remain. Just enough time for your call if you make it right now. 800-259-9231. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. If you enjoy this program and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do so by learning how to promote the show. Head over to promote.freetalklive.com. Get a whole list of things you can do. Most of them are pretty simple and free. To help get Free Talk Live into more ears around the world, go to promote.freetalklive.com. As we go back to Steve in Colorado. Steve, you're back on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, you know, a while back, I'm not sure when, a month or two, you guys were talking about how people can change. Mark used himself as an example. And back in the early and mid-1990s, I was in the Coast Guard, and at that time, I was pretty liberal, and I was getting more and more liberal as time went on towards the end of my time in the Guard. And I used to be friends with the guy that I used to debate with all the time. We recently found each other again on Facebook, and it turns out that back then he was a neocon, essentially, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now he considers himself to be a conservative libertarian. And I was just, you know, I was going to call him up and talk to him right before I called the show, but I couldn't find his number. But anyways, the point is that I was just going to marvel at the fact that he now considers himself a libertarian or a conservative libertarian or whatever.
Well, so does Neil Bortz.
Well, yeah, but he's checking out his Facebook and looking at his comments on various topics. He seems to be on the right side of most of the issues.
So he's moving in the right direction, and were you marveling at the fact that he could make a similar change because you yourself have moved in that similar direction from the liberal side?
That's what I was going to get at, exactly. I was going to call him up and say, man, I can't believe it. But then again, you know, back in 1995, the last time we saw each other, heck, I was a Ralph Nader-loving liberal guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have all made the change. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there about people, you know, how they can change. Boy, I'd sure like to take credit for that, but heck, I didn't tell him anything except for how gun control was great and things like that. That's all we talked about back then, you know.
Interesting observations that both of you, though you started in different political positions, have ended up in a similar one.
Exactly. I just think it's fantastic.
fantastic. I can't wait to get a hold of him and talk to him.
Well, the ideas of freedom do make sense. They are logically consistent, and the more you hear them from the more places you hear, or in the more places you hear them, and the more often you hear them, the more likely you are to come on board. And so it's just more evidence that these ideas are persuasive, and they make sense, and they're moral, and I thank you for the call, Stephen. 800-259-9231, and we continue with Gabriel in Florida. Gabriel, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got an email. You read my email on the air earlier tonight.
This
and I
is
just wanted to see if there was anything
email?
I could clarify that maybe I didn't make clear.
The pharmaceutical email?
Yeah, that's correct. Gabriel's first year pharmacological student at the University of Florida.
So, okay. You wanted to make any points, or you were just asking if we had questions for clarification?
Yeah, if you had any questions for clarification, I heard you guys discussing a little bit earlier. I just barely tuned in.
I do not.
Well, really the only, you know, we've been debating back and forth. My partner here knows little, but about the point of intellectual property in the area of pharmaceuticals. He does, however, know that he believes in freedom every issue, every time, and so. Damn what you have to say as far as he's concerned.
Yeah,
and
I don't really care too much what the...
He doesn't care about the facts, Gabriel.
The professors, no, just because a professor spouts something off in front of a college class doesn't make it a fact necessarily. I'm not too interested in what they have to say. I'd be more interested in hearing how it is that intellectual property is not necessary in that industry, because I've heard all of the arguments as to why it is necessary, and it's always the same arguments over and over again from every single person in any industry that's being protected by the intellectual monopoly system of patents. And so what I think would be most interesting is if you took the time to go and look at the counter arguments against what it is your professors are saying and bring it up to see what they have to say. That would be kind of interesting. And take a look at Chapter 9 of Against Intellectual Monopoly, which is 31 pages with citations that will essentially refute everything that your professors have said, I bet.
Well, the lecture I passed wasn't about necessarily an argument for or against, but simply the application process and how drugs become approved in this country. So obviously, if we're going to keep this totalitarian approach to drug approval and government regulation, there needs to be some kind of way to make some sort of profit.
Why can't private companies test drugs?
There's nothing stopping the charity groups from making drugs right now. So the question then becomes, why aren't they?
There's nothing stopping them from making drugs, with the exception of perhaps, the FDA and its regulatory process? You don't think that's pretty easy to get through, do you?
Gabriel, he asked you a question, Gabriel.
You having trouble with your phone there? Sounds like it. Thanks for the call. 800-259-9231. Look, I've got the article here, or not the article, but the 31-page PDF. You went to the website. It's dklevine.com?
Yes, I believe so.
D-K-L-E-V-I-N-E is where you can find this entire book. Against Intellectual Monopoly is what it's called. And obviously in 31 pages, there's a lot of information here. There's no way I'm going to be able to boil any of it down or sample anything explicitly here. But there is a summary paragraph in the very beginning on page 3 that says, in fact, we will see, they say that the pharmaceutical industry is a complicated beast to vivisect, which can be approached from many contradictory angles and viewpoints. We will stick to ours, narrow that it may be, and ask, how strong is the case for patents in pharmaceuticals? Is there substantial evidence that without patents, we would not have the medicines that we have, as some would claim? Or, at least we would have a lot fewer and worse medicines. Would the industry shut down and talent move to some other more rewarding enterprise if patents on drugs were more or less abolished? That is, if all the world became like Switzerland until 1978, or Italy until a year later? In fact, we shall see that while Big Pharma is not necessarily the monster that some would depict it as, the case for patents in pharmaceuticals is a lot weaker than most people think. And so, apparently, even under the most favorable circumstances, patents are not necessarily good for society, for consumers, or in this case, for sick people. Patents are good for monopolists, but that much we knew already. And then they go into 30 pages of explanation and detail backing up their claims.
That's right. You know, I think that a lot of this would take care of itself if the drug industry competed on an even playing field with other modalities. The problem right now is that they have a lot of political clout and they've legislated a lot of competition away. One of the tools they use to do that is patents. But if they competed on a level playing field with all the other inventions that can come out there that are non-drug as well, then there's going to be a lot of drugs that won't be developed because there's a lot of malinvestment in the drug industry as well. Look at all the drugs that come out and they're through shady approval processes, and then a year later, all these people die and they pull it up from the market. Well, the FDA approved it. Why isn't it safe? Isn't it? I mean, it should be safe. So a lot of this stuff is absurd, but I think you could take care of it just by this legislation, for example, where if there's a disease, only a drug can cure it. That's the law right now.
Yeah, right. If you find out that a particular root from a plant will cure cancer, you can't put that root on the marketplace and market it and say this will cure cancer.
Even if you have studies, you can't say
right,
that.
You can't say
it cures something. You can only make structure function claims, and they're even trying to crack down on that stuff now.
Yeah, they're making it very difficult for the natural remedies to compete. And I absolutely agree that they should be able to compete. And it's, you know, I wouldn't argue for the FDA. I think the FDA is a, you know, it is a dinosaur of a system that was we didn't need in the first place and likely and absolutely has killed more people than it's saved by tenfold, if not more. What my argument would be was simply for a patent process of some sort, and not one as arduous and difficult as the one we currently have in the area of pharmaceuticals.
By the way, I'm being given another link here that'll be useful for people looking into more of this sort of information. AgainstMonopoly.org is a website that brings together all kinds of authors who are interested in this topic. We've had Stephen Kinsella on this show before. He's called in.
Yes.
He's a listener to the program. He's definitely somebody who is firmly against intellectual monopoly, and he himself is a patent attorney. Mr. Levine from the book we're talking about, Michelle Boldrin, and a handful of other authors all there together at AgainstMonopoly.org. We continue with your phone calls. You can bring up anything. We talked to Ryan in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, I just had a question mostly from Mark, actually, because he's a new dad. I got a kid on the way, and the wife is deathly afraid that my liberty-friendly views are going to break the child in some fashion.
To break him?
How is that possible? Like, what are her imaginations?
Well, first off, she's worried that in saying that the police should be out there, you know, catching criminals, and maybe I overstate my case to a certain extent and portray them as thugs at times, and she's afraid that that'll make the kid unwilling to go to the police when it's a life and death situation for them. Or
maybe walk up to one of them and says, "My daddy says that you're just a bunch of thugs."
I wish we could talk more about it. Maybe you should call tomorrow and bring this up. We are out of time. Thank you for the call tonight. SACL CAI brings you this show. You need collections done. Get in touch with them. SACL CAI. See you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are taxes, food, energy, housing, medical forcing Americans into poverty? Is free enterprise flawed, or is our monetary system forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? The answers are in Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about the Fed and central banking. Hi, Ted Anderson. I will give a U.S. silver dollar to everyone who purchases this book. Call 800-686-2237. It's critical to be made aware of the system. Get your copy today, 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.